Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you till 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call this afternoon at 888-677-9673. That's a toll-free number, 888-677-9673. Well, let's go ahead and jump into our program here today with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you so much again for the opportunity to be on the air. We just pray that you bless and use the program today for your glory. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. And we just pray that things we talk about would lift up and glorify Christ and point people to Christ, that they might find him as their Savior, and we might encourage Christians in their walk with you. We thank you for it in advance, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good to be with you here this afternoon, and I want to jump into a couple of things here. Right at the start, there's a speech that portions of it have been translated and put out online. I was reading about it earlier today. The president of Turkey, President Erdogan of Turkey, gave a speech that hasn't been covered much in the Western media as much right now. And there's several websites that have it. Waleed Shobat at his website has it. Rightscoop.com, I believe, is where I read it at initially, and some other sources there. I'm going to try and post it on a link to this article with the speech in it onto our Facebook page. And, of course, you can always go to our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and that'll link to our Facebook page there. Try to post some of these articles and things there from time to time. But this speech that President Erdogan of Turkey gave today, and this would be reported by the Anadolu agency, which is kind of like Reuters news agency in Turkey, and several Arabic sources have picked it up, and he addressed the situation of Israel. We see a lot about what's happening in Israel today, and wondering if there'll ever be peace there. And Erdogan apparently is trying to unite Sunni and Shiite opposition against the Jews in Israel, and in particular in Jerusalem, he said. And Waleed Shobat gave the translation here of the speech. He said, "Unfortunately, we, the Muslims, lost our aim to head toward Jerusalem. The water of our eyes froze, making us blind, and our hearts that was destined to beat for Jerusalem is now instead being conditioned for rivalry, being in a state of war with each other." And what he's trying to get here is the Turkey and other groups to refocus. If you recall, Turkey was once the head of the Ottoman Empire that controlled much of the Middle East and even stretched into northern Africa. And this is one of the great empires of world history, and it only broke up at the end of World War I. It was one of the Axis powers that were defeated in World War I. And Erdogan would like to restore the Ottoman Empire. I've even read and seen where some secular military thrillers have used this theme even. So even the secular world has picked up on the fact that Turkey would like to resurrect the Ottoman Empire. And he has basically said this. He said that Iran and Turkey should mediate between the various battling parties of Sunni and Shiite and try to bring things together so that they could unite all of Islam, regardless of Sunni or Shiite, and then take Jerusalem and drive out the Jews. And this is very interesting because in the latter days, of course, in Ezekiel chapter 38, there's a broad coalition that I believe includes Russia and the Ukraine, Azerbaijan, places like that, as well as Libya and Ethiopia, Sudan, other places. And it also includes Turkey and Iran. or as Ezekiel 38 points out, it calls Iran Persia, which is the ancient name for Iran. So it's very interesting. We see how the Turks and the Iranians, despite Sunni-Shiite differences, are making nice with each other. And the Bible does say that they will be on the same side against Jerusalem, against Israel, in Ezekiel chapter 38. That's a latter-day prophecy. And I think they're going to be prevented for a time, obviously, because there are other prophecies that deal with Syria and what would be Jordan today, and also Egypt and Lebanon and Iraq. These are places that are not mentioned in Ezekiel 38. They're missing, and the lack of mention of them in Ezekiel 38, I think, is noteworthy. It's not that God forgot them. It's not that that Ezekiel just kind of lumped them in and figured people would assume that they're there. There are other prophecies that indicate that those areas perhaps will be destroyed by Israel, by the Jewish nation, prior to the Ezekiel 38 battle. In fact, I wrote a booklet some time ago, a few years ago, called The Coming Arab-Israeli Nuclear War, and you can find information linking to that at our website, livewithpastoral.com. You can also find past programs and our Sunday night programs listed there at livewithpastoral.com. Well, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al, and you can give us a call, 888-677-9673, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And we've got Fran calling in here this afternoon. Fran, welcome to Live with Pastor Al today.
Yes, I'm calling in about the situation that the pro-life people and others that stand up against the evilness of the government,
right.
They're being like penalized, I heard, and I don't know, their personal tax things or whatever they're being, as a group that they, I don't know how you feel about all this.
Well, yeah, there is persecution against pro-life groups, and it comes on a variety of levels. Let me give you some background on this. In one sense, abortion is like the sacred cow of the left. And there's a variety of reasons for that. One of the reasons is that the left is enamored with this idea that the Earth's population has to be reduced. And,
right.
And a lot of people don't realize that. I think that, and this is not the fundamental thing that motivates them. The fundamental thing that motivates them is their rejection of God. You can read in Romans chapter 1 what happens when you worship the creation more than the Creator and you turn your back on God. And your foolish hearts become darkened, and they just give themselves over more and more to sin. But see, one of the things that happens is people on the left, and I know from when I went to college, I had friends who I'm sure today, if I could run into them, are probably committed leftists, and that was at Colorado State University in the early 80s. But they have this belief that the world is so overpopulated that the population has to be reduced. And they generally won't tell you what they want it reduced to. They'll allude that, it should only be maybe a billion or maybe a couple billion. What they really believe is that it ought to be reduced to 500 million. That's half a billion. Now, the world's population today, I forget what it is now. I think we're nearing, or did we just pass the 7 billion mark?
Right.
Something like that. But, that's a lot of people that have to be eliminated one way or another. And one of the ways to eliminate these people is to further abortion, because that's a lot less people being born.
Right.
So the population is going to die off and head toward that half a billion, that 500 million mark. Another way to achieve that goal is through the promotion of homosexuality and same-sex marriage, because obviously same-sex couples are not likely to be producing children, are they? So anything you can do to reduce the number of children that are being born. And now, again, as I said, I know that's not the fundamental underlying thing. The underlying thing is their rejection of God. And worshiping the creation more than the Creator. That underlies the whole of the environmental movement. But the environmental movement controls much of the left in the world. And as a result, it kind of exhibits itself in this right. desire to reduce the population considerably. I can even tie in some more bizarre things like UFO aliens and abductions and all of that. They believe some believe in the UFO literature that one of these days that aliens are going to take away a large chunk of the Earth's population away from the Earth and relocate those who are spiritually backward. That would be you and me. It would be me because I'm doing this program and you because you're listening to it. But they're going to take us away so we can be re-educated or, you know, reprogrammed or whatever in an alien concentration camp on another planet somewhere, or just eliminated so that the enlightened few that are left can go on to the age of Aquarius, if you remember that from back in the 60s. That in early 70s, I guess it was, the age of Aquarius was a big thing. But yeah, this whole idea they're going to reduce the Earth's population and more likely than not, you and I are not part of that favored few that gets to inherit the Earth, according to them. But we know what God says. The Earth's population will be reduced considerably during the coming period of the tribulation. Certainly when the believers of the world are taken out of here at the rapture, at the catching away of believers, that will lower the Earth's population a bit. But then during the course of the judgments poured out during on the Earth during the tribulation, I think there's one judgment alone where a quarter of the world's population is eliminated. And then there's another judgment where I think about a third of the population that's left is eliminated. By the time we get to the end of the 7-year tribulation period, the Bible tells us, Jesus said in I think it was Matthew 24, implies that if the tribulation lasted any longer than those 7 years, there wouldn't be any life left on the planet.
Right.
So the population that survives will be those that come to Christ during the tribulation and refuse to take the mark of the Antichrist. And they will inherit the earth. And then, of course, we who have been caught up to heaven will come back with the Lord in the air in Revelation 19, and we will be with the Lord ruling and reigning over the Lord's kingdom during that 1,000-year reign of Christ here on earth. So we have a glorious future to look forward to, and it's not the leftist utopian dreams.
Amen. God's way. Amen. Thank you.
Right. Well, and thank you for that question, too. And I did kind of stray a little bit away from the persecution of pro-life groups. They persecute pro-life groups because they're standing in opposition to their plans.
Yes.
And let me give you another reason for that, too. Here's another reason that I think is motivating them. And for this one, I want to go back to Genesis chapter 9. In Genesis chapter 9, when the flood receded and Noah and his family and all that were on the ark came off from the ark, the Bible says, and this is also underlies capital punishment, which is as an interesting aside here. Have you ever noticed that people who are pro-life or for capital punishment, both of which are biblical positions, pro-life and capital punishment, and people who are who are standing for abortion, they want to be able to kill innocent babies, but they're against taking the life of guilty criminals.
Right.
You know, they call good evil and evil good. They're twisted in their thinking. Given over to reprobate mind, as the Bible says in Romans chapter 1. Well, here in Genesis chapter 9, he says in verse 4, but the flesh with the life thereof is the blood thereof ye shall not eat, and surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. And notice what he says here in verse 6. It says, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. Notice, for in the image of God made he man. See, murder is ultimately an attack upon the image of God. I believe when the devil can motivate people to commit murder, in a sense, he's striking at the very face of God, because the devil can't kill God. Back in the 60s, they had the God is dead movement, and that was a bunch of nonsense. And, you know, it's not the first time that ever occurred. Voltaire, back in the 1700s or so, had a God is dead movement, and he was an atheist, and he claimed that in 100 years, the only Bibles left would be those in museums. It'd be curiosities where people would go and marvel at the stupid things people believed in the past. And 100 years after Voltaire's death, his printing press was being used to print Bibles and Christian literature to send to the mission field. God has a sense of humor there.
Yeah, he sure does.
Yeah, but
thank you so much.
Yeah, but I was going to just point out there, it's a strike against God's image. And whenever an innocent child is killed in the womb, that's a strike against the image of God as well, because right. God created life, and it's a strike against God.
Amen.
Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. And I think that's one of the reasons the devil pushes the abortion industry. And that's one of the reasons they hate the pro-life people, because they recognize that we're standing up for the image of God.
Right. Yeah. Well, I used to pro-life picket, but I don't do anymore because of health reasons. But
mm-hmm.
I did many years of that, and
yeah.
Wish I could do it again, but with health it's kind of hard. But I can pray and do... Stand
right.
up against
you can
way.
Pray, and you can advocate on behalf of the unborn, and educate people as to the truth. It's going through recently the birth of our first grandchild. It's just amazing, you know, with the sonograms that they have today, how detailed, how accurate they are, and how impossible it is now for people that have seen the sonograms really to knowingly believe the lie. Oh, it's just a blob of tissue. When you see those sonograms, you know it's a human being. There's no doubt. You know, when you can see that unborn child, you can see the hair in the videos and the 3D sonograms and stuff they have now. You can see the hair moving. And you can see them. You can see their fingers and their toes. You can see their nose, their eyes, their mouth, and as they move about. And you can't call that a blob of tissue.
That's
a human being. It's just not born yet, but it's a definite human being.
Okay, thank you, Pastor.
Yeah, thanks again. I appreciate the call there. And, of course, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al. You can give us a call if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And, you know, touching on that, I know there's a lot of reasons why the left is engaged in pushing abortion and furthering the cause of abortion. I just touched on a couple of them there. We could also add in the racial discrimination of it. Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, viewed people with darker skin colors as human weeds that she wanted to eliminate. And that's why to this day, the biggest abortion mills tend to be located in and around impoverished sections of town, and they target, let's just say they don't target the white population as much as they target the black population in our urban centers. And that goes back to the very founding racist beliefs of Margaret Sanger and the founders of Planned Parenthood. We got another caller calling in. We've got Claudia calling in this afternoon. Claudia, welcome to the program today.
Yes, thank you, Pastor Al. Hi. I just want to tell you how much you are appreciated.
Thank you.
And we who need this need it badly. And I thank you for all your knowledge and your help in helping us know.
Well, thank
everything
you.
That God needs
that.
Us to know. And I thank you, and please continue. Thank you very, very much. May you have a blessed Memorial Weekend, and we need to all thank all the soldiers and every armed forces, and you included, that gave their lives and continue to give their lives. And thank you, and God bless.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you, sir.
And I appreciate your prayers, because it's only through the prayers of God's people that we're able to do these programs.
Yes,
and,
sir.
As Claudia mentioned, we celebrate Memorial Day coming up on Monday. And we had, you know, there's 3 days that we have, you know, in a sense, a celebration of various aspects of our military personnel. Armed Forces Day, which is in, it was this past, on the 16th, Saturday the 16th, was Armed Forces Day. That's where we celebrate those who are currently serving. And then, of course, November 11 is Veterans Day, where we celebrate those who have served. And yes. Then Memorial Day, where we celebrate, and well, I should say we remember, commemorate the lives of those that were lost in defense of our country, in defense of our freedoms.
Yes.
And, you know, it's good to bring that up because, you know, without all three of those groups, we would not have the freedom to do exactly what we're doing right now, would we?
That's correct. That's correct. And it's a shame that more of the younger generation don't acknowledge this. You know, my 7-year-old grandson yesterday, they had some songs and everything in advance for Memorial
right.
Weekend. And he's, you know, I picked him up at the bus stop, and he goes, you know, Grandma, he says, I would do anything for this United States.
Mm.
He says, I'll even go to war. And I said, you know what, Chase? I said, let me tell you, you know what? It's a blessed thing when a person thinks that way.
Yeah.
I said, but you know what? God will let you choose whatever
right.
he wants you to be. So, but anyways, I just wanted to say thank you, and God bless you and your family, and may you continue to teach those of us who need it. Thank
well,
you.
Thank
Have
you.
A safe weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Yes,
and,
sir.
And I encourage people to get out and remember Memorial Day. Get out. There's celebrations in communities across this nation, and get out, take part if at all possible. It's not just a day for barbecue and swimming. It's a day to remember those who made these freedoms possible. Thanks for that. And we've got Nancy and Euclid calling in, and you got just a couple of minutes. We're going to try and get Nancy in here in the last 3 minutes of the program.
Oh,
welcome.
Okay. Thank you, Pastor Al, for taking my call. And I love that picture of you with your little grandbaby today. That was so cute. It's tucked in your grandpa. But real quick, I just wanted to ask you, because I've heard different views on this from a biblical perspective. Is there any possibility that we'll see our pets in heaven? I know there's a verse, and I can't locate it right now. It said something about the people will go up and the beasts will go down, which would indicate that we won't see them in heaven. Is there any other Bible verse that might indicate otherwise that you know of?
Right. Well, let me give you one thing here that proves there'll be horses in heaven. How about that?
Yeah, I did. Yeah,
yeah,
I was hoping to see one of my beloved cats.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think cats and different animals we've had over the years. But, you know, we have to remember that there will be horses because, as I said, in the end of the tribulation at the Battle of Armageddon, Jesus comes riding a horse, a white horse, and we,
I'm aware of that,
you know, we the saints, and encourage our listeners to take a look at Revelation 19, the last several verses there, we the believers, we come riding on white horses as well. And so we come out of heaven. So, but now what happens during the millennial kingdom will be on this earth, and there'll certainly be animals that will be living on this earth during that time, and we will have pets. And you know, the whole idea of you know, pets that we've had in the past, I've heard people say, well, you know, if that'll make heaven more enjoyable for us, God'll recreate those pets for us and things like that.
Yeah, that's a bit too.
You know, I don't know so much about that. The Bible doesn't, to my knowledge, say a whole lot. And I think it's in Ecclesiastes where Solomon, I think, talked about the beasts going down the earth because see, they don't have this, you know, the God awareness, the soul or the spirit that we have because it's you know, created in Christ Jesus, when we trust Christ as our Savior, is why we get to go into heaven to be with the Lord. But certainly during the millennial kingdom, we'll have pets because we'll be on earth during that time.
So it's not really, really defined for sure that we won't see our pets in heaven, but you don't think so based on that ecclesiastical verse, right?
Yeah, probably not. But at the same time, we do know that there will be animals by virtue of the fact of the horses, and we do know that there'll be animals on the earth during the millennial kingdom.
Okay,
and
well,
probably during the future eternity in the new earth, the new heaven and new earth, there'll be animals there. It'll be filled with all kinds of things for us to enjoy. But hey, thanks for the question. We're out of time. Join us again next week and take advantage of Memorial Day on Monday. God bless. Have a great weekend.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220, The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The